Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
So, Joe, what a beautiful, beautiful album. This is just lovely. The songs with you and Paul Novotny, and it's just, I don't know, it just took me away.
Well, thank you for saying so. A lot of labor of love went into it. It's been about 5 years in the planning, you know, and in the refining and whatnot. So we're really pleased when we get positive reaction, and yours is, very appreciated.
Oh, well, that's great. Now, tell me a little bit about the genesis of these songs. I mean, it's an interesting title. You just call it songs, but these are very special songs to you.
Yes, they are. Each song has some significance, some more than others, particularly songs like, for example, Clara's song is one that I wrote for my mother in honor of her. I found, it was an emotional moment. She had just informed me that she had had basically a terminal disease, and it kind of shook me kind of badly, and, at one point I just gravitated to the piano, and with that in mind, the piece started sort of forming under my fingers, you know. And other things like Translucent Sun, it was just that piece was basically just a very poetic kind of mood I was in when I wrote this piece, and I imagined someone like Renee Lee singing it, and when I approached her, she said, sure, I mean, I need some lyrics. She said, send it to me, and she wrote the lyrics for it, and we were able to record her when she was in town and then put the strings on later, and it turned out very nicely. I'm very happy. And of course, Paul's song, the Railway Porter's hymn, he basically wrote the melody for that for a documentary that was supposed to be shot on the Last Canadian. Remember the train that used to go across Canada?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, there's a script for that, and it's about, characters that are involved in the Last Canadian, the last trip it took and how they tried to save it and whatnot. And he's always had that piece in the back of his mind and wanting to do something with it. And Dan Hill had already penned some lyrics for some of my tunes, so we approached him, and he said, sure, I'd love to. And Dan Hill wrote some wonderful lyrics. Such a poignant piece, you know.
It is. And you have a personal connection to that story as well.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's about railroad porters, and my dad was a railway porter, and that's how he supported the family, you know. It was very important, especially in the life of black Canadians, particularly in the 30s and 40s and even into the 50s. In many ways, it was the best job a black man could have would be on the railroad. In these days, of course, there's many more possibilities, but very important. Oscar Peterson's father was a railway porter as well, you know. And there's another song on there, Jackie Washington, which we wrote as a tribute to that wonderful folk blues hero from Hamilton, Ontario, that was known nationally and somewhat internationally. You know, we wrote it, and unfortunately, he never did hear the final version of the song. He died just shortly before we finished the recording. But he did know we were actually we had written this song, and we were intending to release it.
Wow, really?
Yeah, so there's a lot of touching moments on there, and there's some fun things too, like True Blue is just sort of a very, almost like a, it's got a very Cuban flavor. We deliberately put some bongos on there with room sound. It's sort of dark and mysterious, you know, it's almost our secret agent kind of tune, you know, which sort of gets your attention right away. And then the second piece is one I wrote for a play called You're Gonna Miss Me. It was to replace the only standard in this particular play by Andrew Moody, After You've Gone, if you know that song at all. Well, this is a contemporary version of that, and I got a wonderful lyricist by the name of E.J. Scott to pen it, and we introduced a marvelous 21-year-old singer, Barbara Leica, which she's just knocking everybody out. Everybody's saying, who's she? Where did you find her? You know, third-year University of Toronto student.
Wow, yeah, because she's something.
I mean, singing off to people like Renee Lee, Dan Hill, Julie Black, and Jackie Richardson. I mean, she holds her own.
Yeah, really. Oh my God.
No mean feat.
Yeah, she sounds great. I did wonder about that. So how did you find her? Was she a student or?
Well, what happened was Paul was doing one of the workshops. My partner, music partner Paul Novotny, Don Thompson usually conducted this workshop at University of Toronto, and Don couldn't do it and asked Paul if he would replace awesome. And, you know, to make a long story short, the little band was there that they had, and they were having some problems, and Paul sort of tried to help them. And all of a sudden, one of the guys in the band said, we have a singer. So Paul said, well, let me hear her. So she got up and sang a song, and Paul was just absolutely knocked out. He said, he basically said to the band, I don't know if you guys know it, but you've got a long way to go just to catch up to where she is now. And as soon as we talked, after he said, Joe, I think I found the perfect singer for that song of yours called You're Gonna Miss Me.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, sometimes, you know, things take the time they take, and sometimes things just happen by serendipity.
Yeah, for sure. Just to go back to the happy man singing his blues for a minute, you actually have Jackie Washington at the beginning speaking. Love that.
You know what? That was from a 1979 interview that Don Herron did with Jackie Washington. We basically lifted it because they did, you know, when he died, they did a reprise of that interview from 20 years earlier, and we digitally lifted it and actually inserted a guitar loop that he was basically playing. We just repeated it and repeated it, and then we took sound bites from the interview that were relevant to the song and put them together. And then, of course, we had to go to CBC and get permission, which we did, and we got it licensed and everything. But we actually have Jackie Washington, 30 seconds of Jackie Washington talking and strumming his guitar at the beginning of the song.
That's great.
I think that's quite special. In case, you know, people didn't know who Jackie was, there's Jackie. That's him. That's the guy we're talking about.
Yeah. And a classic case of do it and ask later, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you just got to get things done and hope for the best. I'm sure you know that.
I do. And you've got Danny B doing the vocals.
Danny B. Yeah. Oh, Danny B. We have another project that's called Home Cooking with Jackie Richardson, Danny B, Paul, and myself. And we've done a couple of concerts, including during the jazz festival at the Onwave Theater down at Harborfront. And we really wanted to get Danny involved in this as well, since Jackie's on the album as well, because we still have hopes for that project to get it launched. And it's a great, fun-loving show, a lot of blues-orientated music, it's very entertaining. And Danny, of course, he was very happy to be involved. You know, Danny B has been a staple in the blues world for the past, 30 years, I'm sure, you know?
Yeah, he's a force to be reckoned with.
He's a force to be reckoned with.
A great guy. Now, Joe, you've been instrumental in sort of bringing a history of black music and Canadian music to the forefront in your Africville suite and with a lot of your songs. And why is that so important to you personally?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, the voice of black Canadians has not really been heard very often, you know. I mean, I remember when I went to school, coming up in school, there was no such thing as hardly any Canadian history to begin with. And
yeah.
Second of all, there definitely wasn't any black Canadian history. So these things are changing, and I think it's things like that make people aware that there's more to this country than is presented by the mass media, and the educational system has got to really catch up to the reality that this country has been founded by a lot of great people from different cultures and different races and everything. It's not just it's just not a straight line, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Great stuff.
And I've done some other work with the Nathaniel Deck Chorale. I actually wrote a suite of music for them, too, which we presented at Convocation Hall, I think it was 2001 or 2002. So it was very early, anyway. Colin Still, We Sing, and I'd love to get that recorded as well, because it also concerns the history of black Canadians, you know, right from, you know, basically when first arriving in the country to where we've evolved to at this point.
Yeah. Fantastic. And your son, I understand he's into a different bit of a style of music than yourself.
Well, I have three sons, actually, and one of them, my middle one, Kevin, he besides being a fifth Dan black belt in karate with his own school in Guelph, he also is part of a rock group, the lead singer, called Persist, and they're often running into town and doing things at the Hard Rock Cafe and whatnot. I don't usually go because they don't usually come on until 12:30 at night. And I don't get around much anymore. at least not to rock clubs at 12:30 in the morning, you know. But, yeah, they're doing okay. They've got an album out, and, you know, I'm pretty proud of them, you know. It's really amazing. And my granddaughter, Caitlin, is becoming quite an actress herself. She's also a third Dan Black belt in karate. She's amazing. She just did the Bravo production of the monster Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, she played the lead in Beauty and the Beast about 2 months ago in the Bravo Academy production, and she's auditioning for another one. They're going to be doing another contemporary play around town or something. I can't remember what the name of it, but she's an aspiring singer, dancer, actress as well as being a butt kicker.
You have two kids who are butt kickers.
Oh, actually, another son too, who's a fifth Dan master. Martial artist in Taekwondo too, Stefan. So I've got a lot of protection around me. Maybe that's why my mouth is so big. I feel I can back it up.
You've got your posse.
Yeah, I got my posse.
That's great. Good for you. It's so nice that your kids are doing well.
Yeah, they seem to keep themselves busy.
You're no kidding. Now, you've gotten a special order. You've been named to the Order of Canada.
Wow. Isn't that something? Wow. What a pleasant surprise when I got the call from Rideau Hall. Mr. Seely, we just want to let you know that you've been, you've been nominated as for an appointment to the Order of Canada. Would you accept? Let me think about it. I'll have to call my lawyer. Wow. That was pretty exciting.
That's great. And when is the ceremony?
I have no idea. They haven't told me that yet, but they did send me my little lapel pin, so whenever I wear a formal jacket, I can put it on, and I can actually put the initials CM after my name as a member of the Order of Canada.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
And well-deserved, I must say.
Well, I don't know, but I accept graciously.
Excellent. And so the album is out, and you're currently doing performances of songs as well, right?
Well, whenever we can. Like, we've got some concerts coming up next week. I have another project called Joe Seely and the Jazz Birds, and we're at the Opera House in Orangeville on the 5th of February. On the 6th, Paul and I are doing a jazz concert at the Oakville Presbyterian Church, part of their concert series, where we'll be playing a lot of stuff from songs. And then the week after, we're in Peterborough at Showplace, and we're actually doing a workshop with students in the afternoon about music, the business of music, and also, you know, and talking about music. And then we're doing a concert at Showplace that evening, where we'll certainly be presenting a lot of the material from our album songs.
Great. You're busy.
Yeah, kind of.
Now, one other thing I wanted to ask you. How did you and Paul first get together, and how long have you been working together?
Oh, my goodness. It was a long time ago. We first got together during the days, I don't know how long you've been around Toronto, but the Café des Copains on Wellington Street. It's now called, I forget what it's called, but it's still a club, but it's
the Reservoir, isn't it?
Think it's the Reservoir, yeah.
I am that old.
Yeah. Good. Now I got somebody that understands me. But they used to have a cabaret series, you know, and I used to accompany people like Tabby Johnson and Judy Marshak and Barbara Lawler and a lot of people, you know, sort of Beth Ann Cole. So one night we decided we wanted to have a bass player, so I just phoned around and somebody recommended Paul, and sort of was kind of cool. And then when I got the gig at Arrow's, I don't know if you remember the place on Richmond Street, Arrow's, it was the coolest club in town for about 2.5 years.
Yep.
I had the band there. I went in there with Dave Young and Pete Magadini, and then when Dave Young decided after about a year or so that he needed to do something else, I thought, well, I got another bass player, and I called Paul, and that's when we really started working together, and we started to record together during our stay. I had a gig at the Four Seasons, when hotels still had live music, and this Chris Huntsberger, the assistant manager, was a jazz fan. So not only did they have music, but he hired a jazz duo. And so we were just playing six nights a week, which doesn't happen anymore. And we decided we're going to start recording. And that was to, what led to our first album called Double Entendre, or Double Entendre.
Beautiful. And isn't it sad that the hotels don't do that anymore?
I know. It's a very sad state of affairs right now in Toronto, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're in a situation now where when we want to record an album, in the old days, you know, you go and you perform live in the clubs around Toronto and whatnot, but the clubs I used to play at were like the Montreal Bistro and the Top of the Senator, you know? They're not there anymore. You know, clubs that really had a policy that where people came in to listen, they had good grand pianos, you know. I mean, a city this size, it's really sad that this doesn't exist anymore. You know?
I agree with
so
you.
So now, I mean, we do things in the studio, you know. We basically, and then we, you know, once we've recorded it, then we can take it out to the public. It's sort of a reverse procedure.
Yeah, there's a real lack of clubs in Toronto generally for that aren't sort of younger generation dance clubs.
Yes, yep.
You know that just the next step up dinner clubs. You know, we don't have that.
You know, it used to be so nice when you could go to places like the Ports or the Limelight or something, and you know, have dinner and watch a show. You know, it was so cool. The Royal York. You know, I mean, the Imperial Room. Oh man,
miss that so much.
Oh gosh, I saw some great acts in there, and you can, you know, go out and dress up a little bit, and if you forgot a tie, old Liam would have a tie for you to put on because you couldn't get in without a tie.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just the formality of it, which is so, so special, you know? And I mean, I remember seeing Tina Turner in her review in there. I mean, gosh, you know?
Hey, I was at that show, too.
Wow! You know, I really miss it. In a city this size, it's really sad that, you know, these things don't exist anymore.
Yeah, it is. It's really, it is too bad. Yeah. Toronto's got a little growing up to do, a little maturing to do.
Yeah.
It's a big city, but it's not mature yet.
No, we're still hauling that cart, you know.
Yeah.
Manually.
Yeah. Got to get with the 21st century
somehow. Yeah, I think so. Soon come, they say. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Joe, great talking to you, and congratulations on a beautiful album.
Well, thank you, Gloria. I really do appreciate it, and I hope a lot of people get up there and so they can hear it, okay?
Absolutely, and I hope that Order of Canada doesn't get too heavy, you know, that wearing that pin, you know, I hope you can still get out and about,
it's just,
you know?
A little pin. I think I can handle it. Thanks a lot.
Very good. Thank you.